Our Hebrew scripture for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 11, and it reads, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall enter you no more. Shake yourself from the dust, rise up, O captive Jerusalem, loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter Zion. For thus says Yahweh, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says Yahweh, your God, long ago my people went down into Egypt to reside there as aliens. The Assyrian too has oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what am I doing here, says Yahweh, seeing that my people are taken away without cause? Their rulers howl, says Yahweh, and continually all day long my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name, and therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of Yahweh to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for Yahweh comforts the people and redeems Jerusalem. Yahweh bears a holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of it. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of Yahweh." There ends the scripture reading. Before the New York City Marathon some years ago, the International Herald Tribune published an article on the mental tricks and mantras runners use to run long distances. According to one Olympic medalist, when running a marathon, 90% is from the brain, while the body is really nothing. One mental trick is to pretend that the runner several meters ahead of you is a giant magnet pulling you forward. A former world-class runner named Jeff Galloway would use his imagination to collect several million oxygen molecules the night before running a marathon that he would then pretend to store in an actual plastic sandwich bag that he pinned to his shorts. In the final miles of the race, when he would begin to struggle physically, he would open and squeeze the seemingly empty bag in front of his mouth and nose. He found that one or two squeezes would last 100 to 200 meters. He reveled in the stares that he received from the other runners. Paula Radcliffe, who once held the woman's world record for the marathon, would occupy her mind during the final 6 miles by slowly counting to 100. If she did that 3 times, she knew that she had run a mile. And then in the 1968 Olympics, one runner was able to keep running by simply trying to make it to the next telephone pole in front of her, and then the next, and so on, until finally she finished with the silver medal. What I find most compelling, however, are the mantras runners use. Mantras would seem to turn running into a spiritual discipline. One veteran of 13 marathons likes to use the mantra, "Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional." When I Googled this phrase, it didn't surprise me to see it pop up on a number of Buddhist websites. Take another example. For the New York Marathon, Dina Castor, the women's American record holder for the marathon, once used a mantra that came from Madonna's song, "I Love New York." In the song, one of the lines is, "If you can't stand the heat, then get off my street." I'm not sure any religion would be associated with that mantra, but it has a bit of a rocky mystique to it. This past week, I've been trying to think of what mantra I'll want to use for the Hood to Coast Relay, or more generally for everyday life. This morning you might want to think about what kind of mantra might be helpful for you right now and whatever's happening in your life. This past week, for example, Yunita and I were talking about the similarities between marathons and pregnancies. It's the last few miles that are the hardest. I have to admit, however, that I've had some trouble developing a mantra for running on our church's relay team. The act of running is not always conducive to thoughts of Christian love. This past week, I read part of a memoir about running by the best-selling Japanese novelist Haruki Murakami. By the time the memoir was completed, Murakami had run 25 marathons. The first one he ran was from Athens to the town of Marathon, so he was running in the opposite direction of the very first marathon ever run. He was running as part of an article he was writing for a magazine. He ran it all by himself with a photographer shooting pictures from the van. It was after 19 miles that he reached a whole nother level of exhaustion. The headwind from the sea was blowing against him and was so strong that it was stinging his skin. When he got to mile 23, he started to, quote, hate everything. He became more and more angry at the world around him, angry at the sheep happily munching grass in an empty lot next to the road, angry at the photographer snapping photos from inside the van. The sound of the camera shutter grated against his nerves. With the sheep, he thought to himself, who needs this many sheep anyways? To make matters worse, despite having started at 5:30 in the morning to avoid the midsummer heat of Greece, little white heat blisters began to rise on his skin. When Murakami later looked back on his first marathon, he observed that after having run many more marathons, the feelings that he experiences when running have never changed. His mind always goes through the exact same process of exhaustion and anger. And yet he later forgets everything and he went through and wants to do it again. I've heard pregnancy is similar. Murakami tries to run a marathon every year. Because I have never run more than 10 miles, and that's probably a generous memory of my high school track days, I have trouble fathoming what it would be like to run a marathon, but I do know that my thoughts have not always been pleasant when I'm running. This past week, I was at the gym running on the treadmill, and I thought I'd pick up the pace so that I would run 3 miles before the gym closed. I figured I was in pretty good shape after having trained fairly consistently in recent weeks, but I tell you, after the first mile, I was really tired. I turned down the speed on the treadmill, but for the next mile, I was still really tired. And I actually started to get kind of angry and upset. Until that point, I'd been thinking about running as a new hobby, do me some good. But right then and there, I started to hate running. And hate what I perceived to be my ineptitude at running. I've since learned it's not wise for beginning runners to push themselves too hard or they'll get burnt out. But still, in moments like this, I've gotten a glimpse of how hard it is to think loving thoughts while running. How is a Christian to develop a nice mantra for making it through 3 miles, let alone 26? How is a Christian to develop a mantra for everyday living when we don't always feel so loving? As Christians, I think it is sometimes easy for us to get our values and ideals mixed up with an unhealthy perfectionism. We feel bad if we don't always have loving thoughts. Feelings like anger and hate seem unchristian. For me, I have to remind myself that those feelings aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's part of the human process of living. Murakami doesn't fight feeling angry when he runs. He accepts it as part of the process. In the end, I think what really matters isn't whether we have or don't have feelings like anger or hate, but rather how we cope with them and act as a result. Do we shut down and quit running? Do we leave course and run on some other trail? Or do we accept these feelings, learn from our experiences, and continue striving toward our destination? I think this is where having a sense of calling really matters. As Christians, we often have our own individual callings, be it as social activists, dedicated parents, volunteers serving others, a wide variety of things. But we also have our collective calling as a church. Our scripture this morning is about the Israelites maintaining their collective sense of calling as a people. The scripture is encouraging the Israelites in exile to journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Awake, awake, put on your strength, depart, depart, go out from there. From this passage, we get a sense of the vision and even the mantra that might have inspired the Israelites. It reads, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." I almost ignored this final phrase because it sounds like the kind of triumphalistic boast that is no longer in keeping with our interfaith sensibilities. But then I began to think about this phrase, this mantra, and what it would have meant back then and how it might translate to today. For a conquered people living in exile to hear your God reigns was a statement filled with a startling, almost unbelievable hope. It was a simple phrase of three words that in essence said, you've seen the depths of despair, you've been forced from the city in which the presence of your God resided, you've been forced from the spiritual home that nurtured and sustained you, you've been angry at each other and angry with God, but despite all of that, your God still lives. Your God is still present and still with you every step of the way, all the way back to Jerusalem. Our scripture indicates that not only is God still living and thriving on their journey back to Jerusalem, but they will be carrying vessels that represent the very presence of God. In recent times, our faith hasn't been challenged in quite the same way as the Israelites, but I think we still have faced our own tests, especially as progressive Christians. We live in a time in which God is often thought of as a strict supernatural judge who saves and damns souls, rather than thinking of God as an unconditional spirit of love embracing everyone, including immigrants, including prisoners, including gays and lesbians, and the most marginalized members of society. We live in an age in which faith is often perceived as anti-science, rather than entirely compatible with science. We live in a time in which a relevant conception of God has been squeezed out of the picture, with Christian fundamentalism on one side and secular humanism on the other. Our vision of God would seem to be lost in exile. And it's up to us to carry that vision back into our society. The name for our Hood to Coast relay team is Still Running. It's a reference to our denomination slogan, God is Still Speaking. The slogan was adopted in 2004 to signal a faith that was relevant and open to new revelations of God's presence in the world. It signaled a faith that had a contemporary vision of God as welcoming, accepting, and loving in ways that differed from the more narrow-minded and unchanging conceptions of God that have dominated in the past. I like our team's name because it reminds me of a God who still reigns in my life, who gives me hope for the race, who gives me a purpose for my living. It reminds me that I don't always have to think happy thoughts. What matters is that I'm still running with a still running God, a God who is still relevant to our times. Perhaps my mantra for the race will be, my God is still running, and so am I. This morning, I'd like to invite all of our still running team to come forward along with our volunteers for the race so that we might bless them. And I asked them all to wear their running outfits. So come on. Oh, we have to go get one of them. All right. Well, we'll have you come on forward. All right. It'll be a relay race to get the other member. All right. There we go. And I forgot to wear my outfit. I'll make you guys do it. Oh, yeah. Right. So we actually have a much bigger relay team, but we've had to use, what's the term for it? Some ringers. Right. That's right. Yes. They looked at how slow my time was and said, we need some help. All right. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this gathering of individuals and what each of them will contribute to our team. We ask that you bless them with the strength and stamina they'll need. We ask that you bless them with a sense of purpose and determination that will carry them through. May you run with us every step of the way. Amen. And I think to really bless them, I think we need to do a team chant, or you guys need to do them, a team chant here. So how about this side we'll do go, this side we'll do team, and then we'll go back to go. All right? Okay. All right, I'll signal it, and then we'll end. I'll then signal when we'll end with amen. All right. Okay. Amen. All right. I guess okay. Well, I've learned something for next time. All right. All right. Well, let's give our runners a round of applause. Volunteers, yeah. All right.